This is the Concealed Carry Podcast, episode number 117. And welcome to the Concealed Carry Podcast, part of the ConcealedCarry.com network. And I am your host, Riley Bowman. And today I'm also joined by Rob Beckman, one of our instructors out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, Riley.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You recovered from, I think you were driving, wasn't it, from the NRA show?
I drove the 9 hours from Cincinnati down to Atlanta. Went through all the construction between there, which is part of the reason why it took longer, and saw some rather spectacular car driving where they didn't end up on the road too well, but made it through it without too much problems.
Right on, right on. So Rob and I just returned from Atlanta, Georgia, where we attended the 2017 NRA Annual Meetings and Exhibits, otherwise known as the NRA Show. And so today is, we're going to have a little bit of news in today's episode, as is typical for our Monday episodes of the Concealed Carry Podcast. But we're going to keep it light on the news stories and spend the bulk of the time talking, kind of doing a recap of the 2017 NRA show as to some of the products that we saw. There's a lot of really great stuff that was announced at the show this year. Rob's got his picks. I've got mine. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Sig Sauer Elite Performance Ammunition. Are you looking for high quality, affordable, consistent, and accurate ammunition that is also made in the USA? Check out Sig Sauer's Elite Performance Ammunition, available in FMJ target and self-defense oriented jacketed hollow point rounds. Whether you are at the range or defending your loved ones, Sig Sauer Elite Performance Ammunition performs consistently between loads of the same bullet weight, ensuring that the results you achieve at the range are the same results that you'll get on the streets. Available at many of your favorite sporting goods stores online and especially through our website, concealedcarry.com/SigAmmo. And so with that, today we've got also our Monday training tip, and I'm going to turn it over to Rob. Rob, I understand you just picked up that new compact cert pistol, and you have a little drill you like to do with dry fire training.
Yes, I did. I just picked up the compact cert pistol, talked those guys out of it. It's not even on their website yet, so if you weren't at the convention, you're not able to see it. I was very fortunate, but the drill I want to go along and recommend to people to do is the dot drill with the cert pistol. I've been doing more and more dry fire practices with the cert pistols as well as the Manus X piece, but what I do with the specifically with the cert pistol is I try to find a small dot someplace on the wall, and I focus very diligently on trying to hold that laser dot right on that as I'm pulling the trigger. And as I get better at the 3 to 5 feet range, I pull it back for the same dot back to the 10 to 12 foot range. And then all the way back, I get probably a total of about 25 feet that I can go back to in my basement. And each time you take a couple more steps back, you realize that dot gets smaller and smaller. And at the same time, you're getting better and better hold on your grip to be able to keep it on that dot the entire time when you're pulling your trigger. So something that I definitely have seen improve my shooting capability over the last 2 months that I've been playing with it.
Awesome. Sounds great. So folks, go try out the dot drill. I mean, I do something similar a lot of times. You know, it's all just about, you know, it's finding that, you know, up close, up front, you know, in your face, you can shoot a lot faster, you know, and be accurate enough for hitting a certain size or diameter of a target. And so the further you go back, it's all about finding that right balance of speed and accuracy, because we always, well, fast is fine, right? But accuracy is final. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's a really great drill, I think, to encourage the accuracy piece, but still, you know, try to push yourself as well a little bit on the speed side of things. At least that's how I try to operate.
Yeah, the one thing I would note, I mentioned I got the new compact cert pistol, but you can do it with this with any firearm or with the larger full frame cert pistols also. It works. It just is a little bit easier when you've got a new toy to play with to find that extra 5 minutes you want to do the dry fire drills in your basement with it.
Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff. So, we'll get into it now here in just a moment. But first, today's episode is also brought to you by Guardian Nation and also Sports Afield. And so with that, Rob, let's talk about, you know, and actually I'd like to intersperse our news stories throughout as we kind of do our recap of the NRA show this year. But let's get into this first news story first, because as we were just talking about dry fire practice, and well, this first story kind of deals with, I guess you could call it training, I don't know, but it didn't go so well. So this first story is on our Colorado firearm training site, reported locally here in the Colorado area. Where in El Paso County, there was two brothers that they were doing some sort of tactical, you know, training, defensive techniques, something or other. Who knows? I don't know that they even necessarily have a whole lot of training. Maybe it's just two brothers that were having fun together, sparring off. I don't know. But here's what happened. Eric. Wow, that's quite a name. Matiasovsky. I don't know. We won't even bother with that one again. So he's 30 years old. He's facing charges of reckless manslaughter and prohibited use of a weapon in the shooting death of his brother, whose name was not released. The sheriff's office says that when questioned, Eric admitted that he shot his brother while they were practicing defensive techniques. This happened around 6:15 p.m. In a neighborhood that actually I'm familiar with. It's not that far from here where I live. Now, while information is still sparse regarding how his brother was shot, it appears that it was just another case of negligent discharge that tragically ended in death. What it appears to me is that, you know, maybe they were practicing a disarming technique or something. Or maybe they were just simply trying hand-to-hand combat techniques where maybe one brother surprised the other brother with something, and that other brother was still carrying his gun, carrying concealed, and he just reacted and drew and fired. There's all sorts of ways that this could have played out, but the key thing, and I think you'll agree, Rob, and I'll turn it over to you for your analysis, is that anytime we are doing dry fire or simulated or physical, you know, hand-to-hand defensive, you know, training, anything like that, where it's a training environment where we don't want to be shooting anybody, we absolutely have to make certain that no live firearms or live ammunition is anywhere, not just on you, but anywhere in the area, in the vicinity, in the room. We see this, you know, even in my law enforcement training, anytime we're doing, you know, simulated training, or like I said, you know, like whether it's Krav Maga or anything like that, before we go in the room, there's basically like a security check where we make sure everybody's going in doesn't have live ammo, no guns, and in a lot of cases, not even any knives, because you don't want to have anybody, you know, mess up and accidentally pick up the wrong thing, the wrong tool, and use it. So, what's your take, Rob?
Well, this is one of those things why you go to competent trainers, because they make sure these kind of things happen. It might sound like a fun thing to do at home, but if you're going to be wrestling, if you're going to be doing defensive techniques, you've got to do it safely. And that's where a competent trainer helps you in making sure, like you were saying, Riley, everybody is properly disarmed and there's no live ammunition or knives or anything where people can get hurt by, because at the end of the day, we want everybody to go home. In this situation, it's unfortunate because it happened during some practicing defensive techniques. And it's unfortunate, too, that it happened to his brother. It's a mistake that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. And it's one of those things that if they would have taken an extra 5 minutes and done the whole thing over again, but instead of going along just doing it without checking everything, check everything this time, they both would be around and be able to go along and not have that horrible memory on their minds.
Yep, absolutely. So folks, you know, take that for what it's worth and make sure anytime you're doing any sort of dry fire or, you know, practice or anything like that, that you just take the necessary steps to make sure you're doing everything safely.
It just takes a couple minutes. And you're safe, and you and everybody else are going to be able to go home and not have to have those horrible memories.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, let's talk now a little bit about the show. First off, it was a great show this year, I think, as the NRA show typically is. lots of vendors. Of course, all the big players are there typically. I had a great time walking around, networking with folks, getting to meet some new folks, giving out business cards, looking for opportunities, you name it. It's a great show, met a lot of great folks, had a good time. How about you, Rob?
I had a great time. Spent a little over a day and a half there, met a lot of people, nonstop walking. That's where the show is.
That's right. Well, and then if you're like me, and I had a number of appointments lined up, especially on Friday, and, I don't necessarily, maybe I'll get smarter in the future, but I don't necessarily go and make my appointments based on where booths are located all the time. It's more like, when can this person, who is an important person, and they got a busy schedule too, it's more like, when do they have time to meet with me? And so on Friday, I think I walked the entire length, back and forth about five times as I realized, oh, I got an appointment down there. And oh, at this time, I got an appointment all the way on the other side. And so I don't know how many miles I walked, but I'm sure I walked a few.
Mm-hmm. I did too. You're tired when you get back to the hotel at night.
Yep. Yeah, and so I was going around. Obviously, I had a video camera set up. I had some podcasting equipment with me. I was able to record a couple of podcast interviews. They weren't full-length episodes, but they'll be interviews that we will drop into some upcoming episodes here very soon. And in a little bit, I'll probably tease a little bit as to who those might be, which some of them I think were pretty exciting. And so I'm walking around with all this gear, and it definitely is a workout, but it was well worth it. What was your favorite, like, just if you're able to, Rob, tell me, what was your favorite booth or company that you saw during the show?
Actually, the most favorite one I had, because it was a completely surprised me, was Hudson Manufacturing, their H9. I heard you guys talk about it previously in the past, about the H9 coming out, different things like that, and it was completely shocking that how well it fit into my hand. I picked it up and it literally felt like a glove in my hand. And then I realized exactly what you and Jacob talked about when you had interviewed Cy on the podcast, just how well it fits in your hand. And didn't have the ability to shoot it there at the convention or anything else like that, but once that start coming out in June, it's high on my list to go out and potentially purchase one of those.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we've earned another convert. I have not been quiet in my support for Hudson Manufacturing and the H9. It's an amazing gun, I think, for this being their first entry as a gun manufacturer into the market. The fit and the finish, the feel, the design aspects, engineering behind it, everything about it is just very clean, extremely well executed. I do know that some of the earlier versions of the gun, they had a few problems, some parts and pieces that were breaking, but they've got that ironed out now, and they've run thousands and thousands of rounds through the H9 now, and the guns that we'll be shipping in late June, in fact, it was announced, that was their big thing they were holding back for the show, was that June 26th, they will be shipping out the H9 for the first time to first go to distributors. They don't do any direct sales. I think they work with, let's see, RSR. Hold on. I got the list right here. RSR, Bill Hicks, AccuSport, Chattanooga Shooting Supplies, Sports South, Williams Shooters Supply, and Xander Sporting Goods are the distributors that they are set up with. And so you can go to your dealer if you're interested in checking one out. I guarantee you just about any of your dealers locally are going to be connected to at least one of those, if not more, distributors. And let them know to, reach out to them and try to get those things ordered and get them in their shop. I had an interesting little chat with Cy Hudson. I asked him, I said, so are you pleased with the demand that you have seen for the H9? And he just got this like little sly, grin. And he was like, yes, we are very pleased. So it sounds like sales are so far doing very well.
I know the guys that I was there at the convention with, I drug them over to the Hudson booth Because obviously Hudson's not a brand that you recognize right now. And I said, I've heard everything about this. And I said, I want to touch it and feel it. And I was sitting there feeling it. And it's like, oh, you guys got to touch this. I will admit I'm a Glock bigot by trade because of everything I've done over the years. I've been using Glocks. But I will tell you, as I said before, Hudson makes a very strong argument for taking a hard look at their gun because of how well it fit. And I'm a guy that's hard to fit guns to just because of my hands. And when that fit in there like a glove, it was all what I can say is amazing. And the other guys were saying the same thing. It's amazing how that feels compared to anybody else's pistol that was at the convention.
Yeah. What did you think of the trigger?
I thought the trigger was a nice,
I mean, keep in mind, this
not
is a
the
striker
competition
fired gun,
trigger,
right?
Right. Yeah. Not a competition kind of trigger, but I thought the trigger was better than the average striker fire. How's that to put?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The reset I think is, where it really gets you. I mean, there is, you do, it does have a trigger safety, little lever thing on the front, which at first takes a little bit of getting used to because with the Glocks and a lot of the other striker fired guns out there, you're used to that little safety lever kind of, pivots downward as you begin to press the trigger. This one actually pivots upward. In other words, that you make contact with the upper portion of this little lever first, but it takes very little, effort to initially depress the safety part of the trigger, and then there's, I don't know, maybe not even an eighth of an inch, I'd say 3/32 of an inch of slack, and it's, once again, it's pretty smooth slack, and then you hit the wall and it's a nice clean crisp break. There's not a whole lot of, I don't really detect a lot of sponginess, unlike what was the gun that I was trying out. Oh man, what did you check out, the Remington RP9?
Oh. Yeah, I was not a big fan of that.
I think those are, we could talk about the RP9 and the Hudson H9, and those are like on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of great, really nice gun, and not so keen on the RP9.
Yeah,
the trigger on that RP9 was a joke. It was just, oh, it was mushy and just disgusting. I got a bad taste in my mouth pressing that trigger.
Yeah, and that's not going to be that's not a cheap gun either. There are other firearms there that are less expensive that probably had a little better trigger than the RP9 did.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, the Hudson H9, I'm glad you got to check it out, and I'm glad you got to see what why we made such a big deal of it, especially around SHOT Show when we first got our hands on it. It's just a fantastic firearm. I'm sure it's super flat shooting. It's a little bit different looking. It's got some really clever engineering in it. And as long as it works, I think it's going to be a really sweet gun. I plan to get my hands on one, to have one. They will be sending us a unit for T&E. But the other thing I found out at the show is I kind of pinned him down. I said, so when are you going to get the T&E ones out? He says, same time as everything else. So they're not shipping out any guns to, sites like ours where we're going to, test it, run it through its paces, and do a review on it until basically the same time frame as well, June 26th. But those will come directly to us. So we probably will get them a little bit before, because it'll go first through distributors and then to dealers and then to the general public's hands. Whereas the H9 for T&E will come to us directly. Well, it'll come to our dealer where we'll pick it up. But anyway, so we look forward to that. And so that'll be late June. It probably won't be till July sometime before we're able to really, run it through its paces and report back. But anyway, good pick. Good stuff. Here's one that I asked you for your favorite, and I'm going to give you mine, which I have to say I was pleasantly surprised with, Rob, and that was Beretta and the APX. And actually, I mean, I could make a case. I could argue there's a couple of booths or companies I stopped by that would also be number ones in my mind, but this is one that was kind of like, okay, whatever, it's another striker fired gun, it's Beretta. Beretta's okay. I mean, I'm not a big Beretta fan, I have to say. I mean, I recognize a lot of the great things that Beretta does. But I just have never been very much a fan of the pistols other than the 92. I like a 92 just fine. Like the Storm pistols, they just don't work for me. Although I know a lot of people that love them and they're crazy about them. One of my best friends carries a Beretta Storm PX4 subcompact 9mm, and he loves it. And it's like, hey, great, you know, good to you. I know Caleb over at Gun Nuts Media, same thing. He swears by that PX4 Storm. But the APX, which was Beretta's entry into, you know, for consideration in the MHS contract selection by the U.S. Army, they did not win, obviously. That went to Sig Sauer in the P320 platform. I didn't know what to expect, except I thought the APX looked weird from images that I'd seen. I mean, it's got kind of some interesting, can we call them slide serrations? Or more like raised sections on the slide.
They don't look like anybody else's, and I guess they got some functional use to them, but it's definitely unique that way.
Yeah, you know, so I was kind of a little unsure, but I'll tell you what, the grip in the hand felt really nice. Those serrations, I'm just going to call them serrations, even though that's not a perfectly accurate description of what they are. They basically run all, you know, there's a lot greater amount of space in between them, between these little ribs on the slide, but it runs the full length of the slide. And at first I was like, that's really kind of weird looking. However, it is extremely functional. You can literally pull that slide back anywhere on the slide. You can grab anywhere and you're going to find a contact point where you have good grip and you're able to work the slide. And I think that's a really good thing. You know, the trigger was decent as well for a striker-fired gun. So overall, I came away from Beretta and the APX pleasantly surprised, especially with me approaching it kind of with a little bit of doubt in my mind. Maybe perhaps how you approach the Hudson H9, where you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't know what all the hype's about. So you know, it kind of turned me around, and I look forward to getting my hands on one again and trying it out. I don't know that I would necessarily buy or own one. Personally, I have plenty of guns, but you never know. So I was pleasantly surprised with it.
When I looked at the APX, Riley, I wasn't quite as much as impressed with the H9 as compared to the H9. It's got a good grip, and the trigger, the balance of it for me seemed a little bit off. Now maybe once I get to the range, it might be a little differently, but I wasn't as impressed with it. Although the one thing I will say uniformly kind of across the board when it came to all the pistols that I tried out, the newer pistols that people came out with this year or in the last year, say since the last, they've done a lot better job on their triggers. The M2s, yeah, from Smith and Wesson's, you know, the Berettas, the H9, all those, you know, the brand new ones, the striker fires that have been around for 4 or 5 years, things like that, i.e. like the Glock, they've got their same long trigger, squishy kind of trigger to them. And I'm hoping manufacturers take note and upgrade their models to have better triggers all the way around.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I mean, even you could say the P320, a fantastic striker fire trigger. It's a little bit older now than some of these, you know, most recent ones. But also, you know, and speaking of SIG, I stopped by there, of course, and put my hands again on the X series line of P320s. And I am just super, super impressed with those guns. You got the X5, which is geared towards the competition side of things. I wouldn't carry it for a defensive gun. It's not really set up for that. But it's a really nice gun. I mean, big, fat, bull barrel. Phil Strader, who's the product manager for that line of guns. And Phil Strader, for anybody that doesn't know, he is a world-class shooter. I mean, he's been one of the top shooters in the U.S. for a lot of years in USPSA, Steel Challenge, you know, those types of events. And now, of course, works for SIG. He just got done, 2 years ago, I think, as the president of USPSA. And so he came over to SIG, and he had a lot to do with this X series line of P320s. And that he tells me that X5 is just a tack driver. I don't remember which name. Somebody he threw out a name, and I apologize. I don't remember who it was. But a really skilled shooter was shooting with it and was grouping like sub-inch groups at 25 yards with it. That's really, really, really good for, especially for a polymer framed striker fired, you know, pistol. And what I like about what SIG did on those guns, by the way, with the X5, with the X carry, which is that one certainly that I could see being appropriate for, you know, that's hence the name. It's X carry. You can carry that gun for self-defense. I'd have no problem with that. Whether it's the X5, the X carry, or the new XVTAC, what they did with the triggers is it breaks at the 90 degrees. So it's a flat facing trigger. You press a trigger. It's a pretty short take up, nice, you know, firm wall. It breaks and it's right there at 90 degrees, short reset. It just feels a lot nicer than what you typically see on striker fired guns. But how about this, Rob? Did you see, have you put your hands on CZ USA's P10C?
No, I did not.
That is also one that you'd have to include in that category of newer striker-fired guns that are putting out really impressive triggers. I should have mentioned that one to you when I saw you at the show, because we saw that one at SHOT Show, and I was impressed there. And putting my hands on it a second time, I was once again very much impressed. In fact, I dare say that the P10C may... I think especially in the reset category, as far as that trigger reset, I think the P10C is winning it. The Hudson H9, I don't know if it quite edges that one out or not, but out of everybody else, the P10C from CZ has the most incredible reset I've ever seen in a striker-fired gun.
I'm writing that down. I'm going to take a look at that when it comes to a local shop around here.
Yeah, and it should be coming soon, by the way, because those just hit the shores. Of course, it's CZ, so they are made overseas. Those just arrived in the USA, I think on Wednesday, and they are shipping right now. Like, they are on trucks right now heading for dealers. And so those will be showing up here very soon, and we look forward to getting our hands on one as well.
You know something, Riley? Talking about that SIG P320, one of the things that I was absolutely blown away with going and talking to them at their booth is the P320. They've got a lot of different models that you can have, but then at the same time, they also have the UTM conversion kits for training purposes that you can use in them. And that's the UTM method of doing the simmunitions is very unique from what I've seen in the industry. And then even on top of all that stuff, I was walking away from the booth and noticed that they had air rifles and air pistols. They make a P320 ASP that is a air pistol. And when you talk about something, a multi-purpose where you can have the same feel, the same method of shooting, you know, going out and plinking in the backyard with an air pistol or training with the UTM barrel all the way to your carry pistol. I was really blown away at the SIG booth when you look at that one manufacturer, it's making all those pieces to really, really give you a good training experience.
I completely agree. And, you know, we have not really done any justice as far as talking about that at great length in the past with SIG, especially with the conversion kits that are available for their guns. UTM, for those that don't know, is, I see them as a competitor to Simunition, who, you know, many of you are probably familiar with Simunitions, at least to the extent that, you know, training rounds you can use for force-on-force training. UTM, however, they have similar simunition type rounds, but they also have some practice rounds that fire a round very much like their simunition round. It's hard not to call it a simunition round when... I know that's a brand, and a trademark, but it's a simulated round that is intended for practice, that doesn't have any paint or anything in it, so it's not a marking cartridge. It's something that you can actually just use for practice that is, quite a bit, less powered and more safe, I guess, to use. I mean, you could use that in some places, like you just said, in your backyard, potentially, depending on where you live. As opposed to having to go out to the range. And actually, there are instructors I know of that teach courses that they spend some time, because you can even use those indoors in certain situations where they spend time training, firsthand with those UTM rounds before they ever, move up to the live rounds at the range. So really cool tech, and SIG has worked really hard with UTM to integrate that more fully into their products. They had UTM featured in the SIG booth at this show. They also had UTM featured at SHOT Show. They had them featured as they were part of their special range day event that SIG does for special invited guests that we were able to attend. They had UTM there as well. So it's clear that that partnership is alive and well and strong, and it brings a lot of advantages and features and capabilities to the general market.
Yeah, it was really great. And to tie things into another product you've talked about in the past, the Manus X, I was looking at the air pistol specifically to be able to use that Manus X in a indoor arena and be able to go along and practice my firing with that, because slide cycles, it uses CO2 cartridges. It was one of those things where I could see a lot of training opportunities within the SIG line of products.
Yeah, and I completely agree. We've been working with the folks there at SIG for some time now. Supposedly they're sending me several of their air pistols. And I was also pretty impressed with those. You see other companies that have done some similar things, but rarely do you see them where the pistol comes exactly, the same dimensions, same features, basically as a mock-up, a near perfect mock-up of the real life, handgun, but in an air pistol form. Now, the triggers, mm-hmm. I wish they would do maybe a little more work with. I mean, they're not great. They definitely feel more like an air pistol, but I would say there definitely is a lot of training opportunities there with those. Now, they have an air pistol too. I don't know if you saw the Max Michelle edition.
No, I didn't see that. I might have gotten blinded by just looking at the P320 air pistol.
Right. So they also have a Max Michelle edition, which is it's modeled after one of Max Michelle's 2011, comp guns. And really, I mean, what it is, I look at that one and I see, okay, it's a 1911 style platform that, it's got a safety lever and everything. It functions just like a 1911 or 2011 in much the same ways. And the trigger on that one was much better for an air pistol. That one was actually, that one was very realistic in terms of firing it. We had the opportunity to fire the air pistols at the VIP media day. And that's where we connected with them. And they said, would you be interested in checking these out and demoing them? And we said, yeah. So they're supposedly on their way. Don't know when they're going to show up. But as soon as they do, we'll get them out to the range and try them out and report back. So good stuff. I'm glad you picked up on that, Rob, as far as some of the things that SIG is up to over there.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. There were a lot of manufacturers where you go by and you see their product, one product that they were talking about. But SIG was one of those booths where I probably spent close to half an hour to 45 minutes, because they've got exciting pistols for carry. They've got exciting training pistols with UTM inserts for being able to train with. And then, like I said, I was walking away and saw those air pistols, and the thing that went through my mind was, Manus X, this would be the perfect type of firearm to be able to put it onto it, and I can do it indoors without worrying about having any problems at all with it, and improve my trigger squeeze at all at the same time.
Yep, totally. Speaking of SIG, I had the opportunity on Saturday to sit down with their president and executive president. So let's see, that's Dan Powers is the president, and Bud Feeney, who is the executive vice president of their ammunition division there at SIG. And we recorded a podcast together, which is going to release this Wednesday. So, folks, I hope you look forward to that. And basically, we just sat down for a honest, straight up conversation about SIG and the ammunition that they're producing. A lot of exciting things coming from them. Just in the last, you know, since they got started, I think 4 years ago, and they really started with their V Crown self defense rounds, which I think are really good rounds. They have since released FMJ versions of those, and primarily, let's see, they got 9mm, 40, 45, and 357 SIG. They do have some other handgun rounds now. They got 357 Magnum, 44 Mag, and I feel like I'm missing one there as well. Maybe 45 Colt, maybe. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, so they've expanded on the handgun ammunition side, but now they've added hunting ammunition, and that's been out for a little bit now too, but they just keep adding more and more and more to that line. So it's really cool. I think you'll enjoy listening to that episode. Some of the things that they are doing to make sure that they are producing some of the highest quality ammo in the world, I think is just really impressive. And it's kind of fun to see this company that used to just make mainly handguns and maybe a few rifles, and now they're making handguns, rifles, carbines, ammunition,
silencers, optics. It's amazing what they've done with that company in the last 5 years. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, and they refer to themselves as the complete systems provider, and that really is what they are going after. Is that you could come to them, as a law enforcement agency, and you need everything from sidearms to patrol rifles to sniper rifles for your SWAT team to training, you know, equipment to silencers and ammunition. Like, you can literally buy, and optics, you can literally buy everything that you would need pretty much on the firearms front, and, you know, from them. And that's something you don't really see anybody else doing. I mean, there's a few others that are starting to try to do it. I mean, Ruger is now making suppressors. They also have kind of some ammunition they're doing. You know, so they're kind of doing some of the same stuff, but it's not nearly to the same level of, I would say, quality even. Because, I mean, Ruger doesn't make their own ammo. They have somebody else make it for them. SIG is making it themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're making pretty much everything as much as possible themselves. There's a few exceptions here and there. But anyway, so that's pretty cool stuff. What's next? What's next for you that you got on your list there, Rob?
One of the things I was kind of excited about, as I said before, I was into Glocks. But Glock, about 2 years ago, took their C lines of compensated pistols off the market. Well, they announced that they are going to be coming back with the 17C and 19C this summer, and they will be in Gen 4. So previously it was all Gen 3s, and this will be the first run of compensated pistols in the Gen 4 line that they've come out with. So I'm excited to see that. I will definitely be looking at those hard, as well as the Hudson and the SIG, as far as where do I invest my money at this summer when all the new products start hitting the market.
Yeah, good stuff. That is kind of cool to see from Glock. You know, to be frank, I really wish that we would see even more new stuff and innovations from Glock. It's kind of seeming, you know, like this is just, hey, you know, we're bringing back some things we used to have, and it's going to be in Gen 4. You know, it's, hey, that's great. And I know the Glock lovers, and I do love Glock. I mean, it's still my duty pistol. And frequently that's what I am carrying too, concealed. So, but definitely when you look at what guys like SIG and others are doing, I feel like Glock is getting left in the dust a little bit. I mean, do you agree?
Yeah. I agree. Even with the Smith & Wesson M&P line of things, they came out with the M2 with the better trigger to the pistol and everything. And so far, Glock hasn't come out with anything. And if they were listening to this, hopefully they would take that to heart and try to make some incremental improvements on the line they currently have. It's been 2 years since they came out with the 43, which is their single stack 9mm, but they really haven't dazzled the market or done anything besides coming out with the reissuing the old pistols in a newer frame, which essentially that's what the 17s will be. They'll be unique, but at the same time, I would really like to see a quote-unquote Gen 5 come out that would have the really nice trigger like we were talking about from the other manufacturers, and maybe some additional features on the gun too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I sometimes wonder if the reason Glock just isn't really innovating quite on the same level as some of their competitors is, I mean, their motto, their slogan is perfection. You know, and it's like, you know, I sometimes wonder, do they feel like that if they were to try to do something big and you know, crazy, like, would that, you know, would that be them sort of in a way admitting that what they had previously was not perfection? So, but who knows? I don't know. Certainly, you know, I know that the Glock fanboys, they think it is a perfect platform, and a Glock platform is a great platform. And there's a lot of great things you can do with Glocks, and the aftermarket is huge for Glocks. But there are definitely some up and coming players that I think are stealing some market share away, without a doubt.
And definitely. And as happened with Colt and happened with Smith & Wesson and everything else like that, you can have the market dominate it. And if you're not innovating, somebody can take it away from you in a few short years without any problem at all with the right product.
Yeah, yeah. And my prediction on that, by the way, is P320 and SIG. SIG is going to own – it's going to be the new Glock in, I think, a fairly short period of time.
Military, police, I mean, already Secret Service, and ATF, they're using the different models of SIG, but they're already using SIG, so they're well entrenched in law enforcement and government already.
Yep. I think it's just going to take over the world. So that's kind of my like own little personal inside joke with SIG, you know, the complete systems provider, everything that they're doing. I just see it as this like quest for world domination. So anyway, let's jump back to a news story here. And this is the Walgreens manager who is in jail for firing on a shoplifter. And this happened in Illinois, Elmwood Park. I think that is that a suburb of Chicago?
Suburbs of Chicago. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so Roman DeMarino, a Walgreens manager, has been charged with shooting at a suspected shoplifter outside the store early Saturday morning. He faces currently felony counts of aggravated discharge of a firearm and no valid FOID card. That's the firearm owner's identification card that you're required to have in Illinois. After the defense of the store, according to Andrew Mack, spokesman for the Elmwood Park Police Department. As the story goes, shortly after 1 a.m., a male walked into the Walgreens, took an item off a shelf, and walked out without paying. The shoplifter then entered a waiting SUV, and the manager fired two shots toward the vehicle as it drove away. No injuries were reported. So he is held on bond currently at Cook County Jail. And, wow. What do you think, Rob?
One of those situations I review with my students all the time. We watch that kind of situation, bravado on movies, TV shows all the time. And when you get down to it, if there's no threat to your life, you cannot go along and be shooting at a fleeing car at all. And I think he probably got caught up in that situation of thinking, I want to be the hero. I want to go along and be the John Wayne. I want to be the, you know, that person in the movies that he saw, you know, a couple weeks ago stopping the shoplifters. But that's not the way it goes with the law. And it's an unfortunate situation because he's facing some really, really serious charges all over, I don't know, maybe a $10, $20, $30 item that was taken off the shelf in a store.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, this is why we talk about often on the podcast how important it is to think through different scenarios ahead of time and how you might respond and react to it. Like, I think if this guy had ever had the thought, maybe he had the thought that, hey, if somebody walks into my store and steals and runs away, I'm going to go after him with my gun. Maybe that's what he thought, and he just had the wrong idea and the wrong information as to what the law allowed to do. But I think most people understand that that's not exactly appropriate, and it certainly is illegal to respond with this level of force on, you know, somebody that this is a petty theft is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And you're shooting somebody.
Take down a license number, be a good witness.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you had thought ahead of time, okay, if this happens, then this is how I'm going to respond, which, oh, I'm going to be a good witness, I'm going to take a license plate number or whatever, then you don't end up pulling that gun out. And I think too often folks are unprepared mentally. Their mindset is not quite there in terms of how they're going to actually respond with force. This is why my wife, you know, kind of nudges me with the elbow and teases me a little bit when I often say I'm jokingly referring to different things with her, but in reality I'm actually being quite serious. As far as, like, we'll walk into a place of business, to a restaurant or whatever, and I'll tell her, okay, you know, hey, here's my plan to kill everybody in the room, sort of thing, you know. And, you know, like, she just kind of, whatever, rolls her eyes. But I'm dead serious. It's like, okay, you know, I never know what's going to happen in this place. And if this happened, I do this. If that happens, I do that. And you have a plan ahead of time so that you know, and that's what training is all about. That's what we do with law enforcement officers. We're trying to give them the tools. We create the situations. We give them the information they need to hopefully, in the appropriate time, in the appropriate moment, in the appropriate way, respond with appropriate force to whatever situation that they're faced with.
See, when I go in a restaurant, Riley, I go along and look and see which door I'm going to run out first.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody comes in.
Absolutely.
Because there again, it's not my responsibility to go along and defend that restaurant or anything else like that. Now, obviously, if they come in and there is a threat to me, my family, or mm-hmm. somebody close, then I may have no choice. But if I have a choice, I would rather live another day than to go along and get caught up in a legal fiasco trying to protect somebody who I don't even know's cash register at that restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and don't take me the wrong way as far as that is my number one thing is, where are the exits? And I'm in here with my wife, or I'm in here with my family. My number one priority is them. And mm-hmm. is get out of here, get away from the situation, you know. And number two is, okay, now how do I kill everybody in the room? So,
yeah, well, yeah, I you didn't get to my number two, so I'm right there with you, Riley.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. So anyway, you know, I like to point out stories like this to just say, hey, folks, you know, I know you're listening. You know, we got our vast concealedcarry.com and Concealed Carry Podcast listening audience out there. And I know most of you are not going to have an issue with this, but it's good. It's a good reminder for all of us, no matter who you are, as to what the appropriate tactics and the appropriate, you know, actions are to take in situations. And certainly a shoplifting thing, you know what? It's stuff. You know, every business, like Walgreens, built into their bottom line, you know, the loss of product. You know, it's just something that happens. And it's not cool. It's not right. But it is something that happens. And the business mm-hmm. is still going to go on. They're still going to exist, you know, and everybody's going to live to see another day. You know, obviously, we can take all kinds of steps to try to prevent shoplifting and theft. But, you know, it's not appropriate to bring deadly force into the question. So, good stuff. Let's get back to
One thing I would add to that, Riley, is as everybody's talking about getting firearms training down, attend some legal classes, seminars, mm-hmm. something along those lines to get your mind to think about what would you do in those situations.
Yep.
Because, you can go be at the range and shoot all you want, but does that prepare you for that moment when you've got to make a life and death decision for you and everybody else around you?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great point, Rob. You know, as far as attending legal seminars, I really enjoy the U.S. Law Shield seminars because I've attended several of them through the years. I mean, they're often low cost or free in a lot of cases too. And, you know, they have real attorneys, reputable attorneys, come in and teach those seminars. So, folks, if you ever have an opportunity to attend one of those, definitely, you know, look for one. I know they're not in every state, but, you know, if you got one near you, I'd encourage you to go check it out. We did a 3 or 4 hour long online course. It's a video course you can go stream and watch right now, called American Gun Law, that we recorded with Doug Richards, who's one of the U.S. Law Shield program attorneys. And I mean, so he knows his stuff. And, you know, so that's another option, I guess, is what I'm saying as well. Folks, if you haven't checked out American Gun Law, it's available on our website. Would definitely encourage you to go check that out. Getting the legal knowledge is really important as far as keeping yourself out of trouble, so you don't end up like this guy, you know, shooting a shoplifter in a Walgreens.
It's a cheap investment, that's for sure.
Yes, it is indeed. So with that, now let's see. I got a couple more things here I wanted to cover just from the show. First up, this one was really cool. It's not a handgun product, but I still think it's really cool, and it does fire a handgun caliber, and that is CMMG's. They got a 45 ACP AR-15, so a pistol caliber carbine. Now, many of the pistol caliber carbines or PCCs that you see on the AR platform and end up being in 9mm. And this one is really cool in that it's a 45. The controls are just like an AR-15 controls. Sometimes you see on these PCCs where they got to make some, you know,
compromises.
Yeah, compromises. Thank you. Compromises on some of the controls and how the gun functions. With this, they've cleverly designed it so it's going to run like an AR-15, except that you're shooting 45 caliber, you know, ammunition. So, really cool gun from CMMG. I got my hands on it. I'm pretty excited about that. I like PCCs. I have a couple of 9mm ones. 45 would be a fun one to also shoot. A little more expensive, of course, but by golly, that's going to be a pretty hard hitting round coming out of a carbine, you know, platform. So, cool. I mean, what other cool things did you see, Rob?
One of the things I saw was the K-Bar. It's a plastic knife designed by TDI, and it's called Shark Bite. It's made to go along and have it around your neck and be able to carry kind of as a last ditch if you're in a ground fighting situation and you need something that's going to be sharp. Obviously, it's not going to be as not going to take as much force as a metal knife, but at the same time it's nice, lightweight, and I can attest to it. It is, they can sharpen that plastic very sharp, and it would be very good to keep somebody or something away from you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now and I'm thinking, can I get this on an airplane? I guess
supposedly it's got some ceramic mixed in with the plastic to give it a little extra ability to sharpen. But yeah, I don't know if I'm going to try that on mine.
I don't know that I would either. It's not worth the risk. But that's pretty cool. I mean, a little lightweight plastic knife that still can do some damage. You know, as you said, a last ditch sort of thing. So cool. That's one I didn't even pick up on. I didn't even come across that at the show. So there's so many things there to see. You just don't have the time. And like you, I could only be there a day and a half, basically. You know, I was there all day Friday for the show. And then Saturday, I had to get out of there by about 4, which was about 2 hours early. And, you know, from the show closing time, I had to rush my way over to the airport. I literally rushed there, barely got through security, got to the gate, and they were boarding. And I was like, whoo, cut that a little close.
I think if you were there for all 4 days, I don't think you could probably have gotten through everything because they were Friday they were setting up additional vendors. And Saturday I know I was seeing vendors unboxing new things, and it was just a whirlwind of get in there, cover as much ground as you can, and you know, come back next year.
Yep. Yep, it's so true. And SHOT Show, of course, is the same way. Here's another one that I, you know, was excited to lay my hands and eyes on, and that was the new HK VP9 SK, which is, you know, I just thought it was really relevant that I show up, that I check it out. I personally don't use or carry any HK pistols. Nothing against them. I think they're fantastic guns, very well made, very accurate, most of them. The VP9 is their striker-fired essentially their striker fired version, you know, their own striker fired gun. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's been very popular. The VP9, I see a lot of people, going to that. We get questions all the time, you know, hey, does this fit certain holster? And, you know, cause we sell the Brave Response holster, a lot of them. And that's a question that comes up. And so this is HK's subcompact version of the VP9. And I suspect for those VP9 lovers and users out there, this is going to be very popular. Did you check that one out yourself, Rob?
I was one of those that I did not get around to getting to see, although the one thing I find kind of interesting, at least just from the pictures that I can see on the internet, the VP9 is very similar to the Beretta APX, you know, except for the slide serrations and things like that. So maybe there's a kind of a new design element that we're going to be seeing out there with the grip angle and the grip texture, those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a very good observation. You know, the one thing I've always struggled, though, with HK, and this is pretty much why I'm not that big a fan for me personally, is the mag release. I've never liked that European style, you know, trigger guard integrated press downward mag release. I have short, stubby thumbs, and I cannot, it doesn't matter the gun. You know, Walter, this is a really big deal with Walters as well. Although Walter's gotten smart and for the American market has started releasing some guns that have traditional push button mag releases. But I cannot, I have to shift the gun in my hand to hit that release. And that, or I use my support hand. And I know there's a lot of guys that use a support hand. Well, to me, that's not that doesn't work, because if I've got my left hand, my support hand, or one of my hands down in the fight, I want to be able to hit my mag release when necessary without having to, you know, do something funky with the gun. And to me, twisting the gun in my hand slightly to hit the mag release is something funky. I want to maintain my usual grip and hit the mag release, be done with it, you know, move on with the reload. That's my own little thing about the HKs and Walters of the world. But it does look like it's a really solid, you know, gun. And I think, like I said, for concealed carry, if you're an HK VP9 lover, I think you're going to really like the SK, the subcompact model. And we'll do our best to get our hands on one and do a review here very soon. I think you got one more thing on your list, Rob. What was that?
It was the Ruger 10/22 suppressed rifle. Everybody's been talking about the Hearing Protection Act. There were a lot of suppressor companies at the NRA show. But the one thing that stood out to me with the Ruger 10/22 was this is a rifle that Ruger is actually coming out with, and it's all integrated. You don't have an extra 12-inch can on the end of the barrel or anything else like that. They actually put the suppressor down below the barrel and makes it a little bit fatter, and it's all integrated and comes from the factory like that. Obviously, if you were going to get one of those, you've got to get the tax stamp and the approximate 9-month waiting period currently. But if the Hearing Protection Act passes, I could see these being very popular rifles for people to be able to go along and go shooting in their backyards without hearing protection, different things like that, all at the same time, because they were very slick rifles.
Yeah. I'm sorry to admit that I did not get hands-on time with this new Ruger 10/22 suppressed rifle. Although I did kind of glance at it as I walked by the booth and thought, "Oh, that's cool," but I just had so many other things going on. I think actually at the time that I caught a glimpse of it as I was walking by, I was on my way to meet with Rob Pincus, whom we recorded a podcast episode with that'll be releasing next week. So I'm going to actually start teasing it now. Next Monday, we'll put out the episode I recorded with Rob. It was really more of just an interview, we talk a little bit about his PD-10 pistol, which is I think pretty interesting and promising. I got my hands on the PD-10. It's a compact, you know, concealed carryable single stack, so nice and slim, you know, 9mm pistol that is still shootable. And I think that's what he's going for there, is this is something that is still comfortable and easy to carry concealed, but it's still shootable. It's still a very usable gun, is what I'm trying to say. And that's cool, because we see a lot of these, you know, like the Glock 43, for instance. is a very small, slim, carryable single stack 9mm, but it is a little bit on the small side. And I shoot it okay, but it's a little bit on the small side. You know, you definitely do not have the same kind of recoil management and control as you do with something that's just a little bit bigger, which is what this PD-10 essentially is. It's just a little bit bigger and definitely is going to be a lot more usable. And I can see myself being very comfortable with carrying it. So we do a podcast recording with Rob Pincus of Avidity Arms in the Personal Defense Network. He's a great guy. It was fun hanging out. I think you'll enjoy that episode. We talk about a lot of different things, you know, some training stuff, kind of the differences between the competition world and the defensive world. You know, we alluded to his connections with Rob Latham, who he's very good friends with, and they do a little segment on YouTube, The Worlds Collide. That is a Springfield Armory sponsored thing. And it's a lot of fun, you know, to see the two different perspectives and ways of doing things. And anyway, so we talk a little bit about that and what it means for training and what people can do to be better trained, especially for real life deadly force encounters. So I hope you enjoy that episode. It'll come out, like I said, next week. Also, the Ruger 10/22 suppressed rifle, I completely agree that, man, that would be... I would so have one of those, especially if HPA passes. Like, it would be a no-brainer, mm-hmm. You know.
There was one, I forget who the manufacturer was, but they actually had the Ruger 10/22 suppressed that was foldable, kind of like the Kel-Tec Sub 2000. So you could have a suppressed foldable rifle. Talk about a handy backpacking rifle.
Yeah, no joke. And as we know, the 10/22 platform is one of the most popular ever. As far as 22 rifles are concerned. So it just makes a lot of sense, I think, for Ruger to come out with a product like that, especially if HPA will go through. So we'll see. You know, Trump was there last week. He spoke at the leadership forum and, you know, kind of rah, 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 you know, way to go, gun owners. And, you know, I'm pro Second Amendment sort of thing. And he said how he's going to, you know, try to do all these things as far as being pro gun. But as we all know, it's got to get through a House and a Senate for him to be able to do anything with. I mean, he can certainly do some things on the executive branch side as far as maybe, you know, putting some pressure on ATF and other agencies to tweak some of the regulations that are already out there, you know, but which I think has been done a little bit already, maybe in some ways. I haven't seen a lot necessarily, but I sometimes wonder, you know, with this change of the arm brace ruling, if you will, that clarification that the ATF came out with last week saying, okay, you can shoulder the SB style or SIG brace style arm brace. And sometimes I've wondered if there was something in the back room, you know, where Donald Trump Jr., or somebody, you know, said, hey, guys, come on, pull your heads out of your butts.
About this. You know, how logical is this?
yeah. Anyway, good stuff. Just as a recap of the whole show, I had a great time. Folks, if you ever had the chance to attend the NRA show or the NRA annual meetings, I would encourage you to do it. It's a very family-friendly environment. I mean, you see people there with their kids, with their wives, with their babies even. And that's totally different than SHOT Show, where SHOT Show is only, you know, industry people that sell product or buy product and things like that in the industry. NRA show is very similar, but a lot more family-friendly and a lot of fun. I definitely saw a lot of families having a good time. And
families. Older citizens, younger citizens,
yep.
Kids, everybody, and everybody in between there. Lots of fun at the convention.
It really is. So I had a good time. Had a good time hooking up with you, Rob, and also a good time doing this podcast episode today with you.
I appreciate it. It was very good. And wish it would have went longer, but we all have to get back to our normal lives.
Now, as is typical, we always do a pick of the week. But before we get to that pick, there is one last news story that we've got to cover, and it's because it's Monday, and we always have a justified news story. So today's story is out of St. Louis, Missouri, where a St. Louis convenience store clerk, and this happened at the 7-Eleven, she had to take down a robber while she was taking a break. So A St. Louis 7-Eleven employee found herself in an early morning shootout with an armed robber Monday that left one dead. The female worker involved in the shootout had stepped out of the store for a smoke break when an armed man tried to rob her at about 3:50 a.m., according to police reports. But the robber was unaware of just what the worker was bringing to the fight until she pulled out a gun of her own and exchanged fire with the would-be robber, killing him. The robber was shot in the chest, arm, and thigh, police said. He died from his injuries at a local hospital. He had a criminal history that included burglary, assault, and gun charges. And the woman, who is age 35, whom police have not identified, was also shot. She was shot twice in the leg. Police said she was conscious and breathing when she was taken to a hospital where she was stable. Her medical condition was unavailable. I took it to mean from that, Rob, that they made a point to say that she was conscious and breathing when she was taken to the hospital meant that her injuries to her shot, her wounds to her legs were actually fairly severe. Meaning she probably lost, you know, some blood, but, seems like she's going to be okay and recover from this. It's a very typical story, similar to many others that we've shared on this podcast before, but it doesn't have that element in that, yes, she was able to successfully defend herself. Yes, she will live to see another day, but maybe just barely, because she was also injured in this gunfight.
Yep. Well, this goes back to our first story that we're talking about as far as thinking through the scenarios and what she would do. Obviously, she had thought through it enough to be able to have her firearm near her and carrying it at the time, and how to defend herself. The thing I wonder about whether or not she had, fought through it far enough to say, hey, if I get wounded in a gun battle, does she have, the medical know-how how to, do some personal first aid until help arrives, different things like that. Best wishes for her on her recovery, but it's good to know, as we've talked about the law, know about what your firearm, as well as how do you treat trauma injuries and things like that all at the same time, because what we're dealing with here, people can get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good observation. You see more and more people carrying things like tourniquets and stuff on them, which I think is very wise. In fact, I've got my eyes set on a little med kit that's got a tourniquet, a whole bunch of other things, chest seals and whatnot, that I'm going to save it for a future pick of the week, just so you all know. So anyway, I got my eyes on something similar that I'm going to plan on carrying on me at all times, because it's finally a kit that I think is usable, but is also compact enough that you can actually have it with you, which would be good to have for these types of scenarios.
And one thing I'll do just a shameless plug, but we're actually doing a technical medicine class here in a couple of weeks in Cincinnati, where we're going to be handing out those trauma kits to all the attendees so they can practice and be able to take care of themselves after the class.
Very cool. Yeah, and I knew you had that class coming up, and I'm glad you made that shameless plug, because I was going to give you the opportunity to do so even if you didn't take it for yourself. One last thing there, just as an observation from the story, and I couldn't help but thinking about, if this woman had thought through this scenario, as far as, I mean, she's got basically a drawn gun on her. At least that's the way it sounds, because an armed man tries to rob her. So it makes it seem as though, he came up with his weapon and he's trying to force her hand as far as, give me your stuff. And, I wonder if she had placed much thought into trying to draw on an already drawn gun, which in many cases we would strongly suggest that you don't, unless you can create some sort of diversion or find the opportunity where you can get the drop on that guy. But if he's looking right at you, and he's got his gun pointed right at you, and if you ever think you're going to just in a split second draw that gun and be able to drop him before he's going to be able to pull the trigger and do the same to you, well, you're sorely mistaken. And she's really fortunate, I think, that she only sustained wounds to her leg.
Right. Well, hopefully it doesn't say in the news report whether she stepped out the store in the back or the front, but hopefully maybe she might rethink about where she takes her smoke breaks at in the future too, into a place that might not attract a criminal element quite as easily.
Yep. Good point. So with that, it's time to start wrapping it up. before we get to our picks of the week, today's episode is brought to you by Guardian Nation. Looking for more training and better gear? Join Guardian Nation to be part of the fastest growing tribe of self-defense shooters nationwide. Members receive access to the concealedcarry.com shooter skill library, Guardian Nation live broadcasts, and past recordings, as well as 10% off everything sold at concealedcarry.com. Also, members receive a box of shooting gear 4 times a year, which is worth at least the value of the membership. In fact, we're getting ready to ship our next box. It's going to be in about 2 weeks here where it goes out the door. So those of you that have already been dues-paying members for the last 3 months in Guardian Nation, your box is coming soon with some really great stuff. So join now and get your dues returned to you in gear every 3 months. Learn more and get started at guardiannation.com. And also for a limited time, get our American Gun Law course, which I mentioned earlier in this episode, at 90% off just for signing up for or being a member of Guardian Nation. And today's episode was also brought to you by Sports Afield. After listening to this Justified story today on the podcast, have you ever considered how you would access your gun quickly in a home invasion while still keeping your firearms stored securely? The Sports Afield line of quick-access handgun safes are perfect for the task. They are foam-lined, yet built with heavy-duty 16-gauge steel that will keep your firearms protected and still allow you to quickly access them in an emergency with the reliable, custom-programmable 4-button keypad. A line of full-size rifle safes are also now available that makes shipping and delivery easy. Trust this 100-year-old brand. Yes, the same company that has published the Sports Afield magazine since 1887. With your firearm storage and security needs, see the full lineup at concealedcarry.com/sportsafield. And for a limited time, save 10% with the coupon code PODCAST10. And as I already mentioned earlier, our Wednesday episode is going to be an interview I did together with Dan Powers and Bud Feeney from 6-Hour Ammunition Division. Hope that you enjoy listening to that as we get into ammunition and what makes good ammo, good self-defense ammo, et cetera, et cetera. It'll be a good time. But before we let you go, this week, Rob, what is your pick this week?
My pick of this week is the Light Sambuie Spear by Colt Steel. We went along, walked past the Colt Steel booth at the NRA show and saw one of these, and a friend of mine decided to get us for his girl so she can go turkey hunting. It was quite fun walking around the convention with it, and even more eye-popping when we left the hotel Sunday morning carrying a 7-foot-tall spear out of the hotel. But it was good, and he promised me he will send me pictures of when his daughter gets their first turkey with the spear.
Now, let me tell you, I'm looking at photos of this thing right now, the Light Sambuie spear from Colt Steel. I mean, this thing is no joke. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. Wow, good pick. I might have to consider picking something like that up just for kicks and giggles. I don't know that I would actually ever use it, especially on a turkey hunt. I mean, that's hardcore there, but who knows? That's cool. My pick this week is I stopped by on Saturday and said hello to Evan over there at LAG Tactical. They make great holsters. And in fact, we'll be reviewing a couple of theirs here very soon. And he said, "Hey, dude, do you have one of my little business card holders?" And I said, "No, I don't." He says, "Well, check this out." And, you know, it's funny because I had seen some other people with them before. In fact, our new managing editor here at concealedcarry.com, Josh, he has one. And I did. I remembered after the fact that I'd seen him pull his out, and I hadn't realized that it was an LAG Tactical one. But this is just a little business card holder. In fact, they call it the Elite Business Card Holder. It's made from Kydex. It'll actually hold, up to, I think, 25 business cards. You can also, it'll hold your ID, your driver's license, as well as a credit card or two. So just a nice, simple little Kydex business card / wallet type, device. And I'm loving it. So, check it out. If you're interested, you can go to lagtactical.com, link in the show notes, as well as a link in the show notes for the Colt Steel Light Sambuie Spear. So there you go. That's my pick. We hope to see you on the next episode of the Concealed Carry Podcast. It's coming Wednesday. where we sit down with Sig. Next week, we will release, as I said, the episode with Rob Pincus, and Rob Pincus will be our Guardian Nation live broadcast attendee. He'll be our special guest next Thursday. And yes, we have changed up the schedule a little bit. We used to do these broadcasts once a month on the third Thursday of the month, and we have moved now to the second Tuesday evening of the month. So this month will be next Thursday evening, next week. So what is that? May 11th, I believe, is the date at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. You don't want to miss it. Rob Pincus will be on there, and anyone that knows Rob knows that he is the real deal in terms of, you know, personal defense. After all, he created the Personal Defense Network. So with that, it's time to say farewell. And Rob, thanks again for being on the podcast with me today.
Thanks, Riley.
Yep. And we'll have to get you on again soon. In fact, we are planning on doing an episode with you where we talk about tactical medical care, particularly in the context of concealed carry, I think. You know, it's self-defense. You just had to use deadly force, and in the process, you got wounded or somebody, you know, you care about got wounded. What do you do? So we don't have that quite on the schedule yet, but we will do that here very soon. And so, Rob, we'll look forward to it next time. Thanks again. And so with that, we'll bid you all farewell. Take care, train hard, be safe. We'll see you next time.
Reminder that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand applicable laws. The Concealed Carry Podcast, Concealed Carry Inc., ConcealedCarry.com, and their affiliates strive to share insights and stories about firearm-related incidents and laws, but things could be different where you live, or laws may have changed by the time you listen to this. We cannot be held liable for your actions based on the information shared in this podcast.